Hello and a big warm welcome to you and welcome to the Aware Parenting Podcast. My name's Marion Rose, PhD, and welcome to another one in this series where I am sharing a little excerpt from my latest best-selling book, which is called I'm Here and I'm Listening. And I'm sharing these snippets from the ends of some of the chapters, which are stories from a child's perspective. And I really love them so much, and I thought that they would be a wonderful companion to then sharing about the relevant topic. So today is all about responding to a child who is hitting. And if your child is hitting, or your children are, or your child's being hit by another child, I am sending you so much love. This can be so incredibly painful, can't it? And I remember a couple of experiences that I would love to share. Number one is, actually, if you listen to the last episode, this is the same friend, only this is a few years later. She was the first in my friend circle to have a child, and I went back to Cambridge actually to visit her, and her child by then was about two, and we spent the whole day together. And while she was making dinner, I went into the bedroom and was helping the little girl and playing with her whilst her mum was making us food. And she started to hit me. And I so remember, again, it's one of those moments where I completely remember that moment and having absolutely no idea what would be the most helpful response in that moment. So I'm just so incredibly grateful to Aware Parenting because the clarity that it has about hitting and what the cause of hitting is and how we can most helpfully respond is so life-changing. I think parenting can be incredibly challenging anyway, even with Aware Parenting, because we live in the DDC and all that that entails, the disconnected domination culture, which is a Marian Method phrase, not an Aware Parenting one. Oh, I wonder if you can hear that little noise in the background. That's Feather the Frenchie having a little dream. It's interesting, eh? So, yeah, it can be hard enough, but I cannot imagine how deeply, well, I can imagine actually, because I had that experience that day of how confused I would have felt if I hadn't known about Aware Parenting when I was a parent. Anyway, the second experience I would love to share is when I was first working as an Aware Parenting instructor, so 18 years ago, and parents at that time would often come and say, I do not understand what's going on. I've done all this beautiful attachment style parenting. So they were new to Aware Parenting, hadn't really started diving in much. And they said, I've always responded lovingly and gently to my child, and suddenly they're hitting me. Like, how is this possible when they've only received gentleness and care? And really that, like, how does this happen? And really, really the beauty that Aware Parenting brings in really understanding what is happening for a child when they're hitting. And what we can do to prevent that from happening. And you've probably heard me share my story of my son in particular, and how, because when he was born, I'd already been an Aware Parenting instructor for years, I listened to a very, very high percentage of his feelings right from his birth. And he was so incredibly present and aware and calm and gentle and cooperative and interested and all the things, until his dad and I separated. And at that point, he started hitting and headbutting a lot. And I found it really, really hard. So that's why, again, I want to say from first-hand experience, if you're going through anything like that, I am sending you so much love. And if you don't already have multiple listening partners and all the support of an Aware Parenting instructor, I so invite you to do that, because I think it can be so, so, so hard. But what I really saw so clearly from that experiment, the experiment was when I was listening to a very high percentage of his feelings and meeting a very high percentage of his needs, there was not ever even a close to a whiff of pitting or pushing or any of taking any of those things. But when he went through this very big trauma, and also at the same time I was also going through something huge and had much less capacity to meet his needs and listen to his feelings, it became really hard, and he began hitting and headbutting and so on. So back in the day, and still in some parenting paradigms, a child who's hitting is seen as a child that's misbehaving, and that they can stop by us telling them to stop or asking to be gentle or threatening them or all the distracting all the ways or just leaving them to it. It's often a way in other paradigms. And in aware parenting, we really see that when a child is hitting, they are not feeling confident and powerful. They're actually likely to be feeling scared and powerless. And obviously and clearly they're in the fight or flight response. That is why they're fighting. So they have some sense of emotionally or physically not being safe. And that could be because of the present situation, or most often it's because there's something in that present situation that's helping them connect with memories of the past that they haven't healed from, feelings from the past that they haven't yet expressed. So of course that's why our perception, our understanding, what we're thinking about, why they're hitting is so important. And it's why I talk about what we are thinking, what we're understanding so much in I'm Here and I'm Listening, because what we tell ourselves is going to have a huge effect. If we're telling ourselves that they're enjoying it and they're doing it deliberately, we're likely to feel angry ourselves and possibly respond in ways we don't want to. If we are being reminded of our own childhood experiences, maybe we had a sibling that was harsh to us, and we go into maybe future thoughts about, you know, what's going to happen, what kind of person they're going to be if they're doing this now. It's so important to be tending to our own thoughts, our own needs, our own feelings from the past. And also to really tend to if we are going into that fight-flight response, which of course is so understandable, and particularly if we're being reminded of our own past experiences where we absolutely did need to fight, flee or freeze, where we did need to go into hyperarousal or dissociation. So I would say out of all the things in parenting, this can be one of the hardest things, to actually think clearly about why they're doing it, stay calm and compassionate and respond in helpful ways, which is one of the reasons why preventing hitting from happening in the first place can be the easiest option. And that was certainly my experience in those early years of parenting. But that generally requires a lot. It requires us to understand about aware parenting. It requires us to have the emotional capacity to listen to a lot of feelings, which many of us don't, because we live in a culture that's where we're needing to do lots often just to survive, where we've all got our own unhealed stress and trauma, all the many, many reasons we don't have enough support, or we need to work hard to create our own support system. Lots and lots of reasons why it's so normal and understandable that we don't have the capacity to listen to a lot of big feelings. And preventatively, that can be a really helpful thing. So all the things that can prevent a child from moving into hitting in the first place, we can go through again the three aspects of aware parenting. The first is attachment style parenting. So the more we can meet our child's needs, respond in an attuned way, offer lots of closeness, that is going to be supportive in terms of them feeling a deeper sense of safety in their bodies and having fewer painful feelings. The second element, the second aspect, non-punitive discipline, is going to help them have fewer stresses in terms of the pain of being shamed or punished or even rewarded. The pain that and the powerlessness that happens if we use power over them, if we coerce them, all of those things, that's clearly, if they have repeated experiences like that, it's really normal for those powerlessness feelings to accumulate to the point of hitting or biting or throwing or any of those things. And preventing stress and trauma wherever possible is also going to help. So in terms of this third aspect of aware parenting, also helping them heal from stress and trauma. So that's not only through raging and crying, but also through attachment play. So one of the most helpful ways as a preventative is power reversal games. So that's one of the 9 forms of attachment play. And it's where we play the less powerful one. So we pretend to be smaller, less strong, less powerful, less capable. That might be anything from they chase us around the house and we keep on pretending to be caught or falling over or those kinds of things and being surprised each time. Like, oh my gosh, how did you catch me? You're so fast. And you're not going to do that again, are you? Or we have a pillow fight and they hit us and each time we make a big exaggerated fall over. And again, like, oh my gosh, how did you do that? You were so strong. So we're playing that less powerful role. And in particular, power reversal games are really helpful for releasing powerlessness. And particularly when they are laughing, that's actually a release, just like crying is. That laughter is actually a release. And it not only helps them release powerlessness, but it also helps them feel powerful. So again, although it may seem that hitting comes from a sense of power, it actually comes from a sense of powerlessness. So the more a child feels a true sense of power, which is through us responding promptly to their needs, through offering them choices, through being respectful towards them and avoiding using power over them wherever possible, the less feelings of powerlessness are going to bubble up to that point of hitting. So preventative is really, really helpful. In the moment, we have 2 choices for how to respond. And again, I would say, I think it's so important to, if your child is regularly hitting, to be doing your own inner work first, getting support, looking at what you're telling yourself, looking at what's reminding you of, looking at what your needs are, looking at what you feel in your body, all of those things. So that you already have in mind how you can respond and ideally get in there before it happens or as soon as it's happened. And then either responding with attachment play or loving limits. And if you're not sure about which one, so much of this is really about experimenting, really just getting more familiar with what's the most helpful response for your child. Each child is so unique. Each child is so unique and has different feelings, different experiences, different sensitivities. So it's really only through the experimenting that we can see, you know, okay, what happens if I move in with some attachment play here. So I talk about the Shall We Dance game that I created when my son was going through that process where I would sing the song. I think I must have shared this. I think I shared it in the Loving Limits episode recently. So anyway, getting a repetition of that where I would sing Shall We Dance? Da 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 la 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 la. And as I said, I think in that episode, I found that was really helpful to help me stay calm and stay loving and not going into harsh thoughts, not going into fear, not going into powerlessness, not going into wanting to use power over. And if he would try and hit me with his hand, I would catch his hand before it hit me and I would then turn it into like a tango. Oh, we're going to do the tango. Shall we dance? La, 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 la. Or he'd try and kick me and I'd get hold of his foot and I'd start doing the Cossack dance and, oh, we're doing a Cossack dance now. And what I found is that would help him. So really remembering the aim is we're helping them to feel physically and emotionally safe in the present moment so that they no longer need to be in that fight mode so that they can actually move into connecting in with what they're feeling in their bodies and to express those feelings. So what we're supporting there is that he's no longer feeling scared in that fight mode, he's actually calm and relaxed again. He's connected with me. He's connected in his body. And we may then find that there's some feelings bubble out later on. Whereas with a loving limit, what we're doing is moving in to stop the hitting, but with the same principle in mind, that we're wanting to support them to feel physically and emotionally safe and loved so that they can move out of that fight response into feeling and expressing usually the rage, powerlessness, hurt that's underlying that hitting. And as you know, I'm very deeply passionate. You might not know, if you're new to my work, I'm really deeply passionate about language. And I've been doing a little series on social media recently, if you're listening to this in middle of March, where I go through all these various different options. So there's no set language in aware parenting for loving limits. However, I am passionate about language and have been for 22 years. And the power language has to help us feel particular states and all kinds of other things. So I do have particular language that I like, but what I would love to offer you is to find language that helps you feel safe, truly powerful, not in a power over way, but a true power way. So you're not going to go into powerlessness, and loving in that moment of offering that loving limit. And language that also helps your child feel safe and loved so that they can move out of that fight response. And my preference is to move in and do the minimum possible to stop the hitting. So that might be, again, holding their hand to stop the hit, or if they're trying to hit another child with an object, getting hold of that object, not taking it away from them unless absolutely necessary for safety, holding the object. And then with hitting, it's different with dissociation or control patterns, but with hitting, there's an urgency to stop the behavior. So I would offer the no part of the loving limit first. So I like to say something like, I'm not willing for you to hit your sister, sweetheart. And then the information part, so this is the part I was sharing about in that Loving Limits episode, the update, if you've listened. So the information here might be something like, because I'm here to keep everyone safe. And then the love part. And the love, of course, is communicated by our warmth and our presence and all of those things. But the loving words might be something like, and I'm here and I'm listening, sweetheart. And we may then need to repeat that loving limit. And I'm actually going to repeat the whole thing to you. See how you feel in your body when you hear that. If you imagine you were a child about to hit, how might you feel if you heard, not willing for you to hit your sister, sweetheart, because I'm here to keep everyone safe and I'm right here and I'm listening. And really remembering the aim isn't just to stop the behavior. So we're not expecting them just to stop and go, oh, okay then. We're expecting them to stop and to express the feelings underlying the hitting. So they may keep hitting. And really what we're aiming for, of course, is for them to feel that physical and emotional safety, that love, so that they can drop out of, I need to be fighting here for survival, to, I'm safe here. I can feel what's going on in my body. It's safe for me to drop into these feelings, to express them. I know I'm going to be lovingly heard, so I can let it all out. And often that will be more in kind of a raging way, what might be called a tantrum. I prefer the term raging, because tantrum still, or meltdown, are still often quite pejorative terms. So they might start saying, I hate you, or they might start expressing a no in some way, because of course that's part of expressing, releasing, moving out of that fight response. It's part of that resolution that they're expressing it in without the hitting. And after some of the raging, they might then move more, once they've really resolved that fight or flight, they've come out of that, then there might be crying. That's where they might move out of the pushing up against either your words or you physically. They might want to be pushing up against your hands, pushing you, or they might be wanting to push up against your words. And once they've really resolved that, that's when they often might move more into the tears and the crying and the sobbing. And they might then, rather than the pushing against that fight, move more into dissolving into tears and maybe falling into your arms and just crying and crying and crying. And that is all of those feelings have been sitting underneath that hitting. And I imagine you might be feeling, I know I am right now, is that deep compassion for a child who can be so often understood, a child who's hitting, to actually see that underneath that behaviour is a whole lot of painful feelings. And they'd much prefer, even though it's painful to feel those feelings, it's much preferable to feel them and express them and release them from their bodies so that they can feel calm and relaxed, including in that kind of a situation again, rather than constantly moving into or repeatedly moving into hitting. So I'm sending you lots and lots of love. As again, I want to repeat, if your child is hitting or has been or is being hit by another child, or you as a child used to hit or were hit perhaps by a sibling or a friend, I'm just sending you so much love and compassion. Again, I really want to remind you to be deeply compassionate with yourself and as much as possible to reach out for listening support, whether that's through a listening partner or multiple listening partners or an aware parenting instructor, to really have your feelings heard. It's so important, so vital. So to finish the episode, I'm going to share this story from a child, this section from I'm Here and I'm Listening, which is available on Amazon if you don't already have it. If you do have it, would you be willing to share a review on Amazon? I would really, really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who supported it. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Please help me. I can't stop hitting. I feel a wild energy in me and I want to destroy everything I see. I'm a raging tornado destroying everything in my path. You come close, Mum, and I really want you to help me, even though I'm still a tornado trying to destroy you too. I feel so wild, I want to destroy. I lash out and hit you. My body is the wild wind. I keep trying to hit you and you hold my hand and do that loving limit thing. That's not enough, Mum, not enough. I'm too big and wild and strong for that to stop me. I want to wreck everything. I can't stop. Oh, you come close and you hold me. I fight at first because I start to feel more feelings in my body when you do that. I'm scared, Mum. These feelings are so big. Will I be okay? Am I safe? Will I destroy everything? I'm still fighting you, but I can feel you there like a strong brick house, not moved by the tornado. It changes to a storm. The wind rages around, but there's ground now. I can feel you. I feel safe. But still so angry. Why do you spend so much time with Savannah? I know she's my sister and all that, but don't you love me anymore? I'm so mad. I need you. Oh, the storm changes. The wind turns to rain. The tears fall. I feel so, so sad, Mum. I miss you. I'm getting bigger and the world is so confusing and I just want to cuddle up with you like how things used to be. I want you to love me like you love Savannah. I cry and I cry and you hold me. I can feel the warmth of your arms around my back. I can feel the warmth of you all around me as I sit on your lap. My tears and snot go all over your top. Ah, the storm is dying down now. Wow, I feel so different. I can look around me and see you clearly. The world looks all fresh and new after lots of rain. You hold me and I melt into your hug. I feel our hearts beating together. I love you, Mum. We stay like this for a really long time. I feel so relieved. I could drift off to sleep like this.